Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening? So this is the music I want y'all to hear. If y'all could hear it, let me see if I could get Mr. Sonny Sutherland. This is a little bit different music. This is Eric. Anyway, this is me. It's called Real Talk. So check it out. Welcome to the K Thompson Live Show, everybody. My name is Eric Payne. I am the son and the mother. My mother, K Thompson, is taking the night off. She's having a vacation. And what we're going to start doing now is, it's like a show within a show where I get to talk my little stuff during the hour every other week. It's called Real Talk. I'm going to be talking some real talk. You know, some things you just can't talk about in front of your mom. Sometimes some type of language you want to use, you just can't talk about in front of your people. And also, it's a little bit a younger, a different vibe. But I also have to always have to give homage and pay homage to my mom, who a lot of you might know that I am an actor by trade, I have been. And I was put on stage by my mom a long time ago when they needed somebody to play Prince Charming in Sleeping Beauty, their little production of Sleeping Beauty. Now, my mom had a dance school with my aunt a long time ago, and I got to tell you, for a straight guy, that's not a bad thing to grow up in, is having a dance studio right there with a lot of beautiful women and young girls at the time. We were young boys at the time, my cousins and I, and it was really something special. But that's where that initial, I guess, being in front of people, that bug kind of bit me. And then so many years later, as my mom, many of you know that my mom, she talks about it often, was a host, had her own show on WLIB Radio, AM station of Inner City Broadcasting. And so I would co-host sometimes and be a guest on there, have actor friends of mine, people, and we would talk about various subjects. And on the other side, I come from a father and his brother and every other people, a lot of other people in the family who were politically active. And at that time in life in the 60s and the 50s that they grew up in, they didn't have a choice. Black people of that age, our generations, our mothers and our fathers didn't have a choice. It was either accept life the way it was, being second-class citizens, or do something about it and change it. And so that's what they did, that generation, that generations of civil rights activists and people. And yeah, I see that. And they put it on the line. And it wasn't just the people that you hear about every day, that you read about in the news clips or in history books. It was the people who lived every day and had to deal with that mess every day. So it's everybody. And this is where our community needs to get back to being leaders, each and every one. Not just one leader. Everybody needs to be a leader. Everybody. The village has to take over. And nowhere is that more important, clearly more necessary than nowadays what's happening. You know, years ago, a young man named Yusuf Hawkins, I believe was his name, that was killed when, I believe the story was that he went out to buy a car in Bed-Stuy, if I'm not mistaken. And this young boy was killed by an angry mob of young white guys who didn't want black guys in the neighborhood. And I'm pretty sure that's what happened, a similar situation like that. My mom was on the radio at the time, and she was expressing the outrage of the community. And she was angry, as we are all pretty angry now, about the Michael Brown getting shot down like an animal. And what she did was just ask you to repeat with her the name Yusuf Hawkins, or his first name, Yusuf. But I'm going to do a little bit different. All these years later, who would think that we're still dealing with the same, we're on the internet, right? So when the kids are out, put the kids to bed, close it up, because I'm going to say a little curse words every now and again, but we're still dealing with the same stuff, the same shit, if you want to know what I really mean. So I'm going to repeat, I'm going to say some names. I want you to say them with me. Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis. When are we going to be tired of this? You know, the old folks used to say, how long? How long? I'm 54 years old. My whole life I've dealt with and heard about black men getting killed for no reason. And it's got to stop. You know, the people out there in Missouri, they're protesting, rightly so. And, you know, they part of their protest, they put their hands up, all the way up. Don't shoot me. I'm unarmed. And I say, keep doing that. But you know what you also need to do? Go to the range. Learn how to shoot yourself. Join a gun club. Get your own black militia. Take a page from the playbook of the Tea Party. When they went out there, when they wanted to try and make that rancher pay taxes for the land he was letting his cattle graze on, and he owed back taxes, but he made a big deal out of it, so all them other Tea Party people and people who are anti-government, anti-black Obama, anti-black, anti-brown, anti-everybody, they all went out there, and some of them, you had a sniper, had his rifle trained, allegedly, at one of the officers. You imagine if that guy was black, they'd still be looking for that brother right now to this day. So let's take a page from the Tea Party, and let's start learning why you being peaceful. Learn how to shoot. Form the militia. Protect your community from these beasts. All right? Here's my prediction, right? My prediction is that one day America might end up being like South Africa, an apartheid state where the minority rules the majority because they have the juice. It's said that in Ferguson, there's two-thirds black in this community. However, the power structure is majority white. So what does that tell you? That in the police force, all 55 and except for three or four people are of color. So what does that tell you? That seems to me to be like kind of an apartheid state, right? Or at least it reminds me. See, I'm just giving you my own opinion on this show. That's what I'm going to do, give you my own opinion. I'm not an expert about anything but my own life and my own experience in life and maybe some acting now and then. But I'm just giving you experience about stuff I've seen in my life and stuff that doesn't make sense to me. How long? How long? I'm suggesting that there's some black people, there's a new generation, my generation, a generation after me, certainly, that ain't going to wait. That's not always going to turn the other cheek. And I'm not saying loot or riot, but you might want to be strategic with some of those actions. But I'm not saying do it in your own community or riot. And really, the parents of Michael Brown asked you to be peaceful, so let's be peaceful. But let's let them know. That's why they don't want to let you know the name of the police officer who murdered this kid, because they're concerned about his safety. His safety. You kidding me? Yeah, he need to be concerned about his safety, because that's what time it is nowadays. We're not going to let that go. You know, you hear about these gangs, and I lived in California for a long time, and you hear about MS-13 and all these vicious Mexican mafia gangs, and even the cops are afraid of them. I was friends with a cop, a sheriff's deputy, and they did a bust on some people who were affiliated with these gangs, and the dude was a high-ranking official. He said, all of you better worry about yourself. And that's really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? That when they get off that job and go home, if they're doing the wrong thing, and sometimes they're doing the right thing and they need to be protected, but if they're doing the wrong thing, somebody might tap them on the shoulder. You might get visited. You might get the night riders to come by or the spooks who sat by the door, but they're going to look a little different this time. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes those things could happen. Or how about this? Let's make law enforcement, it's not all police officers, of course, we know that, right, okay. But let's make law enforcement and let's make protecting and serving the community something to be honored. So let's pay them a little bit more money, make them go to school, make them learn something so that's not the last job the idiot out of high school who was a bully can do and had to take a GED to get there. Let's raise the pay. Like we should do teachers, like we should do firefighters, like we should do other people who serve the community and first responders. Let's make their pay, but let's make them have some sort of pride in that job, you know. But I guess I'm talking about a different system, because this whole system is built upon slave labor, right? The United States is kind of built with slave labor. So in a capitalist system, we talked about this last week, Sonny. We talked about this a little bit. In the capitalist system, somebody got to be up, somebody's got to be down. So you've got to oppress somebody, right? So first you're going to oppress the most obvious people. You brought the black people over here, and you made them slaves. But in doing that, the system is built upon that belief that we are better than these other people. The system is built upon looking down at another race of people and making them subhuman. So that justifies your treatment of them. You understand? That justifies them being able to shoot this brother down when he had his hands up six times in the chest. And they don't even want to talk about the brother that was with him. It seems like out there there might be a little corruption going on. It seems like that in the police department in Ferguson, they don't want to talk to the people. They want to not give this guy's name out and cover him. It seems like there's a cover-up, right? I'm just saying, I'm talking about what I observe. Y'all let me know if you guys see some similarities and patterns. And I've seen pictures from out there and the militarization of the police force, right? The one picture where the brother with the dreads, his hands are up in the air, and there's about six or seven police officers with camouflage and riot gear on approaching him with their guns drawn. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you they must be getting ready for something, right? Or all that defense equipment has got to go somewhere. And personally, I don't care if you use that. They're nothing but bigger toys. That's all. But let's get the right individuals using them toys. Let's make it something to be proud of. You know? So these are the things that get me really riled up. And I would like to sit here and speak to you as a man, right? As just a man. But I got to speak to you how I was born in this world, you know, as a black man. I'm kind of channeling Malcolm X or Denzel, but that's the reality. I got to talk to you as a black man because the larger society of America won't let me forget that I'm black, right? Everywhere you go, they don't let you forget. They remind you all the time. You watch the TV, and how long does it take for you to get pissed off before you watch TV in the morning, watch any kind of news? How long does that take? I'm getting a lot of feedback here in my headphones here, but how long does that take before when you watch TV, how long does it take for you to get upset when you watch the news when people try to bash Barack Obama for every single thing, knowing good and damn well that we were in Iraq with the first guy named George Bush? What's in Iraq? I mean, let's break it down. This is real talk. Let's break it down so the average person on the street can understand. What's there that we all up in it all the time? Something always pulling us over there, right? What are you saying? Is it oil? Is it the resources? Because something keeps pulling us over there. Something keeps pulling us over to mess with people in Iraq, to be involved, to find a way that we want to, come on, man. How stupid do they think people are? How stupid do they think people are? And I wanted to be, you know, I like to be upbeat. This is the first time I'm talking real talk, but I'm a little angry. I can't help but be a little angry. And if you really want justice, white, black, brown, or whatever, you should be angry too. I was encouraged that I saw a few white people out there protesting with the black people. That's cool. But you know what it requires? All the rest of you white people out there that don't agree with that type of treatment, that might have met some black people, you might have had an opinion about black people until you met a few and say, oh, they're not that bad. I know a couple. Fine, that's whatever. But you need to get out there too. If we want the system to work for everybody, it's got to work for everybody, or else it's going to fall down. Either we all going to live, I like to say that we all going to live in peace and harmony, or we all going to go up in flames, because eventually people are going to get tired. And I might have talked through the break. I don't know if I have 1 minute through the break, Sonny. I'm just like riffing right now. I'm going off the dome. I'm trying to let people know what time it is. And I'm sure you all see what I'm seeing too. And it's really kind of ridiculous. We got to change up the system that suggests that every white person that comes along that doesn't necessarily want to buy into the racial thing, they have to buy into the system because that's what the system perpetuates. Let's keep these black people down. I think we're going through a break, right? We'll be back on the other side. K. Thompson Live Show. But this is me, Eric the Son, with Real Talk. Come right back with us.
This summer sizzles on the Glow Pro Radio Network with hot new shows and cool personalities. Every Wednesday live from 4 to 5 p.m., it's the Nerdy Girl Wellness Hour with Amelie Lamont. from 5 to 6 p.m. is the BCS Experience, History, Art, Culture, Politics, in Review, and Discussion with Byron C. Saunders. From 6 to 7 p.m. it's We the People with Sunny B. Sutherland. From 7 to 8 p.m. it's the Earl Morgan Hour with Earl Morgan. From 8 to 9 p.m. it's Kate Thompson Live with Kate Thompson and Eric Payne. From 9 to 10 p.m. it's the Sexy Party Show with Mr. Lucario, Miles Cunningham, and Anita G. Listen to the fastest growing network in the galaxy. Visit www.goproradio.com. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Okay. So, you know, my mom's trying to call in because it's the first time I'm on the air by myself. And I saw that Wayne called back. We saw that was your 94914. And Wayne was calling in. My mom was calling in. I would be remiss if I didn't have my mom on the first time that I was doing the show without her. And just to get her little brief take on it. But, you know, I want to get back to Michael Brown and the things that are on my mind about it. We really have to come together and try to find a way with which we can handle this situation. You know, we don't, like I said, it might be necessary for people to know how serious we are, for us to get serious. Somebody might have to get, you know, the chin checked. You know, the cats in L.A., I had a friend in L.A. said, might have to chin check this dude. The chin check is when you get your chin checked, otherwise being punched in the face. That's the flip side of it. And every once in a while when people talk crazy stuff, some people want to just spout off. You know, like there's no consequences for what they do. Sometimes when you spout off every once in a while, you get your ass whooped, you will know that there will be consequences for what you do. And sometimes that's how you got to get through to some people, right? Sometimes you really got to get through to some people and let them know, no, you ain't going to treat me that way. You're not going to stand out there and treat me that way with all your guns or whatever. You know, because there's a lot of guns in America. A lot of people can get guns. If that's the route we have to take, that's all I'm saying. I'm going to have my little cousin call in who just moved back from Missouri. And he can give us an assessment of what life is like on the ground there. Because like I said, there's a system. The system in the United States is predicated on keeping people down. Like I was saying, so black and brown people have to be kept down. So white people that might not buy into the system, but it just becomes a way of life. They just accept it that I'm part of their privileged class and all these other people aren't. Even people who happen to be white that might not be in the upper economic level. You know, that was the last thing a lot of times they could have. Well, at least you're not during history throughout the country. So that's what they had to hang on to. And also, those people at the higher end of the economic ladder told those white people, their fellow same race, right, at the lower end of the economic ladder, you're not doing good right now because those black people, or I should speak in the way Rick Santorum speaks to say, those blah people are taking your jobs, or those brown Mexican people are coming over here taking your jobs because people are coming across the border because they want to survive, and they come over here doing jobs that people don't want to do anyway. Then you want to turn around and get mad at them. Let me also draw another kind of a similar picture that came to mind when I see the militarization of some of these police forces and some of the things that I saw in Missouri. We saw a night of protest, and we saw some people do the wrong thing by rioting. I don't think that just destroying people's property is the way to go, because those people might have been supportive of your cause. So now you lose that support when you do things indiscriminately like that. But I understand when anger boils over, when there is no justice, there is no peace. And that's real true. But here's a pattern that I noticed, or a similarity. Some children coming from South America, seeking asylum, trying to survive, braving thousands of miles. I mean, little kids. And I have the image in my mind of the one little girl. There was a news story about a group of children, these particular group of children they called. They stopped, and the Border Patrol were there. And this one little girl, about 8, had her little note or something like that to say where her mother was and who her mother was, and she got kind of nervous. She couldn't find it at first, and then she kind of found it. But you could see in this child's face how she was nervous, but still trying to smile and be, but you felt that. No child should have to go through that. And then they said they want to send troops to the border to stop children from coming in? These guys are always talking about troops. Troops. Always want to be military. And who are the people they always want to be military against? See the picture. I'm just saying. Just look at it in terms of pictures. No words. Nobody telling you what to think. Turn the sound down. Just look at the pictures. That'll tell you all you need to know, right? That'll tell you all you need to know. And it's just ridiculous how that keeps happening. I'm not understanding. We've been doing this for centuries. So what I think, that the entire police department needs to be disbanded in Ferguson, Missouri. Because they seem like their job is keeping black people down as opposed to helping their community. And here's another thing. I understand. If there's some people who don't want to, I understand the mind of a racist. If you don't want to be around a certain type of people, you shouldn't have to be around. That's your right in America. If you want to sit in your house and talk whatever kind of crazy stuff about other people, that's your right in America. But here's where the problem comes. And even if you want to live in your own community where don't want to be around a certain type of people, we know that's why a lot of people move out of the cities, away from the cities, out to the middle of the country. We know that's why some move. You should have that right. I believe so. Because on the real, we don't want to be around you. It's not like, you know, y'all are so special, the people are so special that people want to be around them. It's that you have the resources. So let me break it down to you. If you move to an area, right, say the back in the day when America, when the country was just being developed and pioneered and all that hootenanny, if you move in, right, and say I'm going to settle in this area, and you settle near the only watering hole for miles around, that becomes the only resource. So when other types of people that you don't want to be around happen to be miles around in that area and the only water source, you're going to have a problem because they're going to come and need that water. So that's a real basic example. If you don't have the resource, don't nobody want to be around you. Come on. So I say right on. To the people who don't want to be racist, just want to live around their own kind, go ahead. Go have your parties and your own little stale community. You know, I don't necessarily want to live in a world with all black people. I grew up knowing white people. I grew up having good white friends. I still, to this day, and friends of all colors. So I don't necessarily want to live in a world with all one type of people. Yeah, well, I do. The one type of people I want to live in the world with are people that respect other people. That's the people I want to live in the world with. People that respect children. People that respect the environment. That's the type of world I want to live in. That's the only type of people. If you're that type of person, I'm down with you. If you're somebody who wants to oppress people, somebody who wants to look down on people, you know, I don't agree with a lot of people. I don't agree. And listen, I was working at a job. There was a dude that was a transsexual man. I was trying to transition over. Whoop, whoop. He's got the operation. He's wearing the things. Look ridiculous as hell to me. I thought it looked ridiculous. I think a man trying to be a woman, to me, that's not right. To me. But then again, I'm not a person that's that persuasion. But you know what? I'll fight for their right to be able to live the way they want to live as long as they're not infringing upon my benefits. It doesn't make a difference if I agree with their lifestyle. I have no right to judge their lifestyle. What makes a difference is whether I take part in them impeding their lifestyle when they're not impeding my lifestyle. And having been a person who has experienced oppression, I don't want anybody to ever experience oppression. I don't want anybody to ever experience being talked down on, being made to feel like you're less than, being made to feel like you're not wanted and you're the only one. I don't want anybody to ever experience that. See, that's what you're talking about. My uncle told me a long time ago, people in the world don't necessarily have to agree, but you coexist. Coexist means you live and let live. And as long as you're not impeding on somebody else's right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness and all that type of stuff they say in America, then cool, then right on. But when you start deciding that you want to, I'm better than you and I'm looking down on you because this, this, and that, and when we know it's based on lies, when we know the first life came from Africa, when we know the original civilizations were built in Africa, come on, man. But, hey, maybe that's the way it is. Maybe some people just can't handle the truth, right, Sonny? Maybe what it is in the Bible is not so literal, but the Bible is Cain slew his brother Abel. Cain being the, can be, plug in Caucasian here for the sake of argument, and Abel being plug in black just for the sake of argument. Humanity slew his brother because he had favor in God's eyes. I don't know. Maybe it could be that. But I don't think it's all one race. You got black people treating black people bad. But here's the thing. systematic in America. There seems to be a system built on keeping us down for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know why that is. I kind of know. I have some ideas, but it's just something that makes them. I guess it makes some people feel good when you can look down on somebody when you don't have anything. That's human nature, unfortunately. Unfortunately, that's human nature. I wanted to talk to and get my little cousin. He's probably been calling about 8:30, calling to let us know what it's like on the ground in Missouri. But also in top stories, too, I wanted to talk also about the passing of Robin Williams, a brilliant, brilliant comedian. And this kind of, there's a tie-in here for me. You know, I think a lot of black people kind of like Robin Williams because, I'm going to tell you why I liked him. I remember him from Mork. I was a little bit older than the average person, so I didn't watch those shows. But I saw him doing some stand-up where he made a reference to how some white people think black people talk. And you know, the whole kind of the stereotypical way. And he said, now the black people are just sitting back going, that's an interesting concept. And so just pointing out the absurdity of the stereotypes that some of those people were making. So I kind of became a fan of his after that, and just seeing his comedy and where he was as a person, always seemed like a nice man. And I had the good fortune of meeting him one time after doing the movie School Days. I was with my friend Branford Marcellus, who was appearing on the David Letterman show. So I went up there to the studio to hang out, and Robin Williams was the other guest, was the main guest on the show. And he was backstage, and he was working with the publicist that was working with him. I had worked with at a theater in New York City several years before, so he kind of introduced us, and I spoke to him. And this guy was the nicest, the gentlest, really warm guy, sharp, brilliant, and didn't have any of the vibe like, I'm a star, so let me just talk to you for a few seconds. So you know, some people will just talk to you for a few seconds so they don't come off like a jerk, and they might be big movie stars. And some people are genuine. They're regular people, and that's who Robin Williams was. And this guy was a real genius. As some of the story goes, that he made an appearance on the TV show Happy Days. We all remember that. Some of us older heads remember that. And from that one appearance, they gave him a spinoff and playing an alien. So when they start writing storylines like that, the shows are getting thin on storylines. Fonzie runs into an alien or meets an alien, and that alien is Robin Williams. The story goes, watching Henry Winkler and other shows describe it, said TV shows are shot within about a week, Monday through Friday. Monday you start rehearsing, Friday you do it in front of the audience. By Wednesday, they still didn't have a person to play this Mork character. The show was going to be shot on Friday. They got Robin Williams, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, and this guy blew them all away. So I just was really struck by this guy, and I think a lot of people, maybe a lot of you guys out there as well, when you think about him, he was one of those stars, one of those actors that kind of touched you and always seemed like a nice guy. And I can tell you firsthand, if you have those feelings about him, or if you think you enjoyed some of his work, it was true that he was a good guy. So it's always good to know that, and that God bless him, and may he rest in peace. And we're going to get ready to step off for a little second. I want you to come back on the other side of the GoPro Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Eric Payne with Real Talk, the Real Talk segment of the K. Thompson Live Show. I'll be back.
This summer sizzles on the GoPro Radio Network with hot new shows and cool personalities. Every Wednesday live from 4 to 5 p.m. is the Nerdy Girl Wellness Hour with Amelie Lamont. From 5 to 6 p.m. is the BCS Experience, history, art, culture, politics, in review, and discussion with Byron C. Saunders. From 6 to 7 p.m. it's We the People with Sunny B. Sutherland. From 7 to 8 p.m. it's the Earl Morgan Hour with Earl Morgan. From 8 to 9 p.m. it's Kate Thompson Live with Kate Thompson and Eric Payne. From 9 to 10 p.m. it's the Sexy Party Show with Mr. Lucario, Miles Cunningham, and Anita G. Listen to the fastest growing network in the galaxy. Visit www.goproradio.com. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have an event, product, service, talent, or something important to say, now is your chance. You can have your very own radio show. Whether you're just starting out or a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation and following, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We can help you grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your very own professional radio show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen, the voice is in your head.
I'm on the radio. Can't do that.
And we're back on the K. Thompson Live Show. This is the Real Talk Hour with me, the son, Eric Payne. K. Thompson is the mother, my mother. And we're talking here from the GoPro Radio Studios, world famous headquarters. Now, on the line, like I told you, I would have my little cousin, my little big cousin, and I lost, okay, my little big cousin, Brandon Joyner is on, and you just moved back from Kansas, Missouri, right, Brandon?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hello? How you doing?
Yeah.
So you just moved back from Missouri, right?
Yeah, I just moved back, yeah, not too long ago.
Okay. And
About a year and a half ago.
Where's Ferguson? Hold on for your answer, Brandon. Some of y'all might hear me call him Tut because he's King Tut, and my little cousin is a rapper, and he's very serious. We'll be talking about that later. It'll give y'all a taste. But so where in Missouri, and where's Ferguson in relationship to where you live out there?
Well, I believe Ferguson is right next to St. Louis. I'm actually from Kansas City, Missouri. That's about 3 hours away, but Ferguson is right next to St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, and then so that's really kind of the Midwest. What's and I would assume that some of the experiences you have are probably quite similar to some of the experiences that those folks have out in Ferguson. Were some of your experiences as extreme because they just seem to be under oppression out there? Were your experiences as extreme in Kansas, Missouri?
Well, to be blessed, actually, it hasn't been that extreme, you know. But it's a little unsafe. It's supposed to be that the police officer is supposed to protect and serve, and it gets to another level to where the community has issues with the police. Like they don't feel safe. Like what do they have to turn to? You know what I mean? That's why I believe that it's kind of coming back to. I don't know if it's cowboys and whatever days it's coming back to. I don't believe that really they're doing the part. The people are supposed to be able to call the police to handle the situation. And I think in that situation is very unprofessional. There's no way possible there was any training involved. And if there was training, that really needs to be, I would think, reevaluated. You know what I mean? Because there's no way possible that someone should be able to do that to a child, man. It sickens me, man.
Right, that's true. And you touched on a good thing. You said training and professionalism.
Yeah.
There's no training and there's no professionalism, because if they're really professional about doing their job of law enforcement, that wouldn't happen. But we kind of have learned through history that it's not really about that. It's about oppressing a certain group of people. And my first experiences with a police officer, I'll tell you, early on when I lived in Newark, were a gentleman named Bill, who was the crossing guard. Back in those days, cops actually did the job of crossing guards. They would be out there and stuff, and it was a rather busy corner, and this is Maple Avenue School in Newark, New Jersey, in the early 60s, and this was a white man who was a police officer. He was the nicest guy ever, and that was my first experience with a white cop, and this guy, there were two ways to do it. You know how you could kind of tell if somebody's just making believe that they like people because this is their job, and somebody who genuinely is likes kids and likes kids regardless and is not a racist, this man was that.
Yeah.
So I know that there's other cops out there, white.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
I was just saying, I know that, you know, this thing that we've fallen into, this system that we've fallen into of an adversary relationship with the police department and African Americans, there are people that fight against that. There are cops that fight against that. There was a cop out there in Missouri that was trying to blow the whistle on another cop who was talking about, let's have a black day, telling all their officers to go out and arrest all the black people at the mall. And the one white guy who blew the whistle on them, they gave him the hell and fired him.
Yeah.
So we know that there are people out there that want to do the right thing. It goes back to slavery. There are abolitionists that wanted to do the right thing. But there's more that need to stand up. And sometimes they stand up at risk of losing their life, like some of the civil rights and freedom bus riders back in the day.
Right.
But more of these people need to stand up. And you you're at a certain age in your life as a young black man, so your experiences just with the cops in your area, have they been negative or positive? I mean, you spoke about professionalism, so I assume somewhere along the line you might have
Well, I can say Kansas City, to be honest, when I was in Kansas City, to me, it really wasn't as professional as I thought it should be. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of ways to go around the system. I've experienced a lot of negativity from the police just by being racially profiled, mm-hmm. just by the way that I look, not by the character that I carry mm-hmm. myself, but by the way that I look. You know what I mean? And I really think it's getting out of hand. Like, you can look at the situation that just happened in New York. They choked a man to death. Like, where's the professionalism? Where are the tactics? That are they training them? Are they training him now to just kill without asking, or are they training them to go about different ways? And I think it's certain people for certain positions. And obviously, they need to change the way that their hiring process or whatever. It must be too easy to be a police officer, in my eyes. Like, I don't know if they have it in the paper and they just find regular people that. You know what I mean? I don't understand this because it's starting to get out of hand. And it's not just one place. It's nationwide now. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. and it has to be stopped. There's no way you can stop the violence. Right. The violence starts with the police. I just don't believe that.
That's right. And they're supposed to be the peacekeepers. And in many instances, they're not. I don't know. Like, when they showed subsequent marches and the cops were out there in full riot gear, that presence is antagonistic. If you look at a picture, you can tell a lot through one's body language. And they even caught a cop out there saying, come on, just bring it, you animals. You know, so I caught this guy on camera saying that. And if you look at the body language of some people, you can tell some of these guys are just racist. They're just waiting to smash some heads in. You know,
right.
The way people
the first
are
chance they
holding
get.
Their batons
and, that's,
and
see, that's the
it.
Thing I don't like. Right, exactly.
Right, so you can you can tell the people who are that. Now let me be. I'm gonna be real talk with everybody how I feel. I got a little bit of a temper, and I know people get angry. People have tempers regardless. When you're driving, you have a little bit of a temper. We've seen cops get out of cars after running, at least in California, after going through a crazy chase and beat the mess out of some people for making them chase them that way. And out of frustration. But you understand that frustration, especially you understand that frustration if somebody cuts you off. And you're in there with your family or child, and they almost cause you to have an accident. So say a police officer is chasing this individual, cutting people off, putting people's life in danger. He wants to get that guy, right? He might be seriously angry because this guy's putting people's lives in danger. So when he gets out of the car, he's going to tune him up a little bit. Okay, you know, I might be a person that says, okay, now maybe you might want to get your job. It's off, or you're a little bit angry. Okay, but take it easy. Or say you have a guy who's a child molester, a child murderer, and a cop catches him and he beats him down. I might not have a problem with that dude getting tuned up. I might not have a problem with a dude that beats an old lady for $15 and knocks her out and beats her up and put her in a hospital. Some people need to have the ass whooped.
The problem is
those that are in power, they think they take that as like carte blanche to do that with everybody. And like you said, since there's no training, the idiots that are there, they don't have the discretion. How many times have you been in a situation that you try to talk sense to a cop and you just, it's like talking to a wall because they don't,
yeah,
they're
and
not
you
using
know what,
their mind.
Now, I feel in my mind, to jump in, it's not about that they don't have the training. In my mind now, I'm thinking that they're training them to do this. Like, it's no way, it has to be somewhere in the where they're, I don't understand why they should be trained on how to deal with every situation. They should be dealing with situations the same way people on the streets deal with situations. If it's a domestic dispute, people are outside, they're fighting, they go to jail. So the police pull up on the scene, just start fighting. What are they solving? What are they doing that's different? It's nothing different.
Exactly.
When does it become a time to where if the police do something they're not supposed to do, they go to jail? They get prosecuted the same way everybody else gets prosecuted. Not just because you have a badge should not get you to be able. You can kill someone. You can be a murderer. You can kill someone by an accident, and they give you leave with pay. I've never heard that in my life. And actually, it's starting to get it's disgusting. It's really disgusting, man.
It's starting to get quite ignorant and crazy, and people are getting fed up, and that's why they don't want to release this cop's name, because apparently, thank God for social media now and the internet, because who knows, none of this stuff, we wouldn't have known any of this stuff, and who knows how many. I'd like to see a study somewhere where we could get a study to see how many black people get shot per week in the United States. I like to see somebody do a statistical or do the data on the average of black people getting shot. What's the statistics per week in the United States? And now that we have the advent of internet and cell phones and camera phones now, we can catch a lot more of these things going on. But, you know, it's not just black people. There was some cops, regardless of their race, you saw a footage of a black cop, I think it was here in New York,
right,
stomping on the head of a black person. So, and the one cop was pushing him away. So it's not just white cops, and it's not just black people. And what comes to mind, too, is the case of a young white guy who was a homeless guy in California when I was living there, who was mentally disturbed, got into an altercation with the police officers, and they beat him so bad, they put this guy in a coma, and he eventually died.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And here was a guy who was mentally disturbed, and the cops still beat him to death. Or the homeless man in Arizona a couple of months ago, I think it was maybe almost 6 months ago now, that the cops shot because he was having an altercation with them. So, and this was a white guy, too, shot by white cops. So, you know, it seems to be getting out of hand, and we really boils down to what we've been talking about, training, professionalism, and a lot of that stuff. We need to work that out. We're coming up on almost the last 15, 20 minutes of the show. I want to make a hard left, I like to call it, into a little bit of pop culture and a little bit of sports. Tut, you're going to be my co-host right now because I thought that we were going to have my mom and Wayne call back, but they haven't been able to. But we did happen to go see the Giants the other night. Beat the Steelers.
Go
in the
Giants.
Preseason. We know preseason.
Giants.
Preseason doesn't really mean that much. But my buddy Bill Nunn, who was going to try to call in too, I should call him up and wake him up because he's probably sleeping now, is a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And I had hoped that I would get a chance to chop here on the air, but we got football season getting ready to roll up, and I know that you were a Kansas City Chiefs fan for a minute.
The Giants and the Chiefs.
Now you got to refer over to the Giants. We're going to try to play a little clip of King Tut's music so you can hear it. I think his hits is ready to be hit. And my nephew and my cousin are very talented music producers and performers and rappers. When you have relatives in your family that are talented, it's kind of you don't expect them to be as talented as they are. You know, everybody, you know, wants to be supportive of family members. Hey, that's great. But when you actually sit down and discover, like, wow, you're blown away. And maybe you're not expecting it as much, or maybe you're just blown away at the amount of talent they have. But I can honestly say that the music I've heard from my nephew and my little cousin, King Tut and Mally the Majestic, is that correct,
yeah.
Tut?
Yeah.
Is some serious music, and I hear some hits there. So I just wanted to share that with everybody that might be listening in to the show. Your new TV season is getting ready to come up. You know, we're in the middle of the summer. You got a new TV season. I'm a TV head. You know, a lot of people, like, as shows go on, I want people to call in. We talk about our favorite shows. I've been an advocate of Breaking Bad, the TV show. I worked with the actor who played Walter White, Bryan Cranston, who's a brilliant actor, working with him on a show called Malcolm in the Middle, which was a character that he played was totally opposite than Walter White. A zany, comedic, the father of these three kids who barely could get a grip on his family, and to see that gentleman go from playing that character to the character of Walter White is really remarkable. It lets you see the range of his work. And that's just something I wanted to point out. We're going to be doing that on the show every time I have a chance to point out the work that people do from an acting and artistic perspective. We got the James Brown movie out that I haven't seen that I look forward to seeing it. From a music perspective, I wanted to ask you this, as someone who's of the generation now of music, particularly from the hip-hop perspective, what's your perspective about the music as it stands in terms of how the images of women and the way women are talked about in hip-hop music now? I mean, what do you think about that? Because sometimes there's a beef about that.
Yeah, it's kind of, with me, it's a touchy subject, really, because a lot of the times that some of these rappers, what they're talking about is the truth by the way that some of these women carry themselves. You know what I mean? Right now, I think it's like what's it called, like good women or real good church good and stern women are extinct, man. It's hard to find a girl like that. Now they're just chasing a dream. They just want a man with some money. Don't matter what he does, as long as he got money, you know what I mean? He's spending, he's popping bottles. That's what they look for now, you know what I mean? And it's really kind of, like I said, back and forth.
For
them. Like, I don't believe, like, a lot of it is good, you know what I mean? From the perspective just of living life and just the morals of life of a man, that's not good. But at the same time, that's what you grow into. Some of these people are raised around females that are worse than men. They act worse than men. They carry themselves tougher and rougher than men, you know what I mean? So it's kind of back and forth with me, you know what I mean, on that situation. I technically don't just walk around saying it, but sometimes, to be honest, it gets me, you know what I mean? Like, it's real touchy with me.
I see. You know, you're going to catch a lot of it back when you start talking about some of the females. I think that nowadays there seems to be an certain amount of acceptable behavior. And I know we're going to run out of time talking about this. You know, you got World Star Hip Hop, where, you know, you have whatever that website is where people just throw up all kind of crazy videos, some ignorant, some funny, and some perpetuate these stereotypes and these negative images. And also with social media now, you have a lot of young kids that want to put pictures up of themselves. Everybody wants to be their own star, but in that you have at what price they're willing to be stars, you know, young girls putting pictures of themselves up half naked, you know, everybody's like, look at me. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, you know, it kind of makes people makes people drop down to the level of just looking at each other like pieces of meat, so to speak, to a certain extent. And it's really unfortunate that a lot of young people need to see a different image. And maybe through the music, you know, that's where we get people. We need to elevate the level of art that we're putting out there. And also, I agree. You know, it's like you said, people are talking about what they see out there, talking about what you – I mean, you and I had that conversation last night, right, about what type of music, what type of rap lyrics you put down. And what'd you say to me? You said you put down things that you've seen and experienced, right?
Yeah. It can't be – with me, my music, it can't be fabricated. Like, it's – sometimes it could come off a different way to other people, but it's basically what I've seen. It's like my poetry. It's basically – it's not saying that everything I've seen has been right, because that would be a lie. Nobody's life has been perfect their whole life, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it has to be crafted in a certain way. Now, a lot of these rappers are just rapping and just saying what people want to hear, you know what I mean? Or saying the same thing over and over and over again. And it sells. I'm not going to say it doesn't sell. It sells. But really now, it's changing the game of the lives of how the people, the listeners, you see what I'm saying? Because even though they're just making music to sell and not paying attention to what they're saying, it's falling on open ears. You feel what I'm saying? Like, music has a lot of influence in our community, I believe, to where people just, if they hear a rapper constantly saying this, this, and this, they're going to believe that. And that's how the time is changing. When I grew up, rap wasn't like that. You know what I mean? It's really, but now, as I've been getting older, it's you can hear more on the radio than you've ever heard before. Like, it's not getting out of hand, but it's what sells. It's about the money. When it comes, at the end of the day, it's about the money. And they don't really care about what it affects as in the community or on other people. It's about the dollar. You know what I mean? So,
and
it can change,
like
man.
You said, that it could change. But unfortunately, a lot of times we've been co-opted to sell the products that sell the most are usually the ones that are the kind of the lowest common denominator. We live in a society that sells sex. We live in a society that sells kind of bad behavior. If we look at a lot of the cable TV, a lot of these reality shows nowadays, we're seeing people argue and fight and talk about things that they probably shouldn't talk about and put their personal business in the street. And if that's what you want to do just so you can be famous or to get money, I mean, a lot of these people are making money off of being that bad.
Right.
It's almost like, where's your soul? You know, what are you giving up when you reflect this? And how do we, as a people, we got to raise the standard. We got to raise the level of how we interact with each other. And the images, like you said, it's falling on open ears. So a lot of people are hearing what some of these rappers are saying, and then they want to go out and live that lifestyle that they hear. All
right?
So they go out and want to live that lifestyle. And like you said, some rappers don't even live the lifestyle that they claim to be living, right?
No, they just do it to get the money, man.
And that's always been the dilemma. They're doing it to get the money, or some dudes are doing it to reflect the lifestyle. Then when they get out in the street, sometimes they have to live up to that character they created. Some people might say how Tupac got caught out there, because he wasn't might not have necessarily been as hardcore of a gangster that he presented himself at certain points, and then he got out in the street and he had to live up to that, certainly towards the end of his life, unfortunately. So these are a lot of things that, you know, as like you said, they affect us a little bit, and I'm wondering if we can, is it possible, my man in the booth there, we can play a little King Tut music. I'm going to try to play a little King Tut music. Sans the curse words. Just a little bit. And we're going to see. Is it possible that I can plug in my phone here and play a little of this music? Hold on. What you're getting ready to hear is just a snippet of King Tut. And I'm going to my smartphone. I have a smartphone. You know, everybody, they call them smartphones. I call them smart-ass phones because my phone seems like it does whatever it wants to do, not what I tell it to do. I'm a little bit older, and when I tell this phone to do something, I'm getting ready to curse it out. Let me see if this is the one here that we can get so y'all can see a little bit of King Tut. Let's go here with you hear rain? I hear rain. Do you hear this? Oh, hold on. We'll go to the other one. We'll go to the radio-friendly one. Hold on.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, here we go.
Yeah,
here
look for the album, man. Prosperity, man.
This is King Tut. Now, you guys decide. Okay, we're just going to go out with this a little bit. Tut, I'll talk to you later. Hang up.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks,
look out for the album, man. King Tut, Prosperity, man.
Right.
North Star, man. Throne
to...
Room, man. We in here.
That's right. Throne Room. Don't forget. Throne Room Battle Raps out there. I'm sorry, baby. You thought you was a spectacular lady. My mom ain't baby crazy. Turn up. Stuck in the rain. I know you think you're stupid, but you know you kissed your tail and I ain't with it. For real. Let that stuck in the rain. It's levels to the... And that ain't right too. Stop acting wiped up, cause King Tut one night at you. A couple drinks in your system got you down. The whole team before my homies pulled their cash out. Let me just go off. Okay. So I just wanted to give everybody a little snippet now. My cousin, here's the thing. He's singing the hook and he's rapping. So and when you see him, are you still on the line with me? Because when you see Tut, a lot of people are looking for a new Biggie Smalls. Not that he's that character, but he's healthy.
Yeah.
So this I'm gonna cut this off because we want y'all to pay for the song and hear on it, or go to YouTube and click on likes for that song, and you can hear all about that and learn all about what King Tut is doing. My little cousin, thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it, man.
Real Talk segment. All right. For the Real Talk segment of the K Thompson Live Show, my name is Eric Payne, the son. I have to give homage to my mom. I should just call her up and let her pick up the phone and say, yo, but we're out of time. We're running out of time. So we'll have my mom the next time. I'm on every other Wednesday and on the K Thompson Live Show on the GoPro Radio Network. Thanks for listening. Peace.